the Public News Service DOAA Newscast, September the 5th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. As voter turnout increases among young people, so do the barriers those voters face to participate in elections.
Republican-led legislatures, including in New Hampshire, have introduced bills to prevent out-of-state college students from voting on campus or ban the use of student IDs to register. President of Next Gen America, Christina Sinsoon Ramirez, says the bills are an effort to suppress young voters who increasingly vote for more liberal-leaning candidates.
You know what you don't get to do in a democracy is say, I don't like the way this group is voting, so I'm going to make sure they don't get to vote.
Proponents of these bills say they're needed to protect against voter fraud despite a lack of evidence. Ramirez says both political parties recognize the power of the youth vote, now the largest and most diverse generational voting bloc in the country. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
The Youth Voting Rights Act reintroduced would increase voter registration opportunities at colleges and universities and require every state to allow pre-registration to vote beginning at the age of 16. Although drought conditions in Nebraska have improved since earlier this year, half of the state is still experiencing moderate to extreme drought.
A new four-year study, Rural Confluence, involving the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Oklahoma State University, and Louisiana State University, aims to help rural communities increase their resilience against climate impacts. Professor Mary Emery directs UNL's Rural Prosperity Nebraska and says they're taking a bit of a different approach by seeking input from community members first.
There's a lot of resistance sometimes when people from outside say, oh, we did all this research and this is what you should do. And people are saying, well, but you don't know our community. You don't really know if that'll work or not work.
Funded by the National Science Foundation, a major focus of the study will be water. Emery says scientists, geographers, and computer modelers will consider the community's concerns and perceived needs as they develop models of how they may be impacted by climate change. She says when communities have a sense of what challenges they might face, they can be better prepared to deal with them. Each university will choose two communities in their state with different profiles, such as one that relies on agriculture and another that relies on tourism. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
And thousands of people who had spent days stranded at the Burning Man Festival in a rain-gorged stew of mud and slop began to pack up their camps on Monday and stream away from the strolling site in a remote part of northwestern Nevada. That from the New York Times. They report the ancient lake bed, where the annual festival is held, was beginning to dry and harden on Monday. Even in normal years, leaving Burning Man could take up to 12 hours, as thousands of cars and trailers creep off the desert. This is Public News Service. Anti-hunger advocates are pressing the Congress now to fully fund WIC, that's the food benefit program for expectant mothers and kids younger than five.
Conservatives in the House of Representatives have proposed a budget for WIC of $5.5 billion. The Senate proposal is $6.3 billion. But Sarah Diaz with the California WIC Association says the program would need a billion more than that to be fully funded.
We would love for the House to reconvene and try to work out a budget that fully funds WIC so that they're able to serve all eligible participants and that accounts for the projected increase in WIC enrollment.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The Congress has to pass an appropriations bill or a continuing resolution by September the 30th, that to avoid a government shutdown. Kentucky begins its eligibility review of kids' Medicaid coverage this month. Experts say it's vital the process goes seamlessly so kids aren't removed because of a procedural error or incomplete information.
Emily Beauregard with Kentucky Voices for Health explains most households should receive notices in the coming weeks. She adds that it's even more critical to ensure kids retain their coverage because Kentucky has recently implemented a new continuous eligibility policy.
If they're able to renew their children's coverage, those kids will have coverage for 12 months with no gap. And that's really exciting because what we've seen in the past is that there's churn throughout the year based on fluctuating income, other changes in the household.
According to the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families, more than 47% of Kentucky children rely on Medicaid or CHIP coverage. Nadia Romligon reporting.
And finally, from Danielle Smith, a Mississippi Black-owned business is cultivating solutions to the transportation industry by training women of color to get into trucking.
Nearly 60% of truck drivers are white, and just under 13% are African American. Mississippi communities rely heavily on trucks for the delivery of everyday goods. Willie Jones, president and CEO of DSC Training Academy in Jackson, says her company is educating women to consider a non-traditional career in the trucking business, where she says women drivers will find equitable pay.
As long as you're able to drive that truck and get that freight from point A to point B, your pay is going to be equal to the men that are out there. We know for sure that there are higher wage opportunities. Of course, in trucking, our first year graduates average anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 a year, and they have opportunity to earn so much more.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.